Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up on the podcast today, the Dacia Spring is a flipping bargain. The Porsche Macan EV is having success and VW's big electric year ahead of them. Plus, stay tuned because later in the show, I'll tell you what the boss of Mercedes is saying about putting tariffs on Chinese imported EVs. Well, good morning, good afternoon or good evening, wherever you are in the world. It's EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information for Wednesday, 13th of March. I'm Martin Lee and I go through every EV story from every possible source. So you don't have to in just 20-30 minutes. It's everything you should need to know today in the world of EVs. We go live at 5 p.m. UK. That's midday Eastern. Patreon supporters get the episodes as soon as they're ready and ad-free. Be like them by clicking on a link in the show notes. We'll start with Volkswagen Group, and a few moments ago they released a press release with their 2023 financial performance and looking ahead to 2024. So a quick overview, Volkswagen Group saw a 12% increase in vehicle deliveries last year, 9.24 million units with contributions from all regions and business units. The company reported a sales revenue of 322.3 billion euros, an operating profit of 22.6 billion euros, and a profit after tax of 17.9 billion euros. But we want to get into the EV stuff, don't we? They say the proportion of battery electric vehicles in deliveries rose throughout the year, hitting 10% in Q4, with an annual share of 8.3% setting a new record. A total of 771,000 pure BEVs delivered in 2023, marking a 35% increase from the previous year, highlighting growth across all regions and reinforcing VW's leadership, they say, in the European BEV market, where, of course, as a group, they do lead. Future investments, they say, will be around 170 billion euros for the 2025 to 2029 period, focusing on new products, regional strengthening, the battery business, and platforms for BEVs. Introduction of the all-electric PPE platform and the new electric models like the long wheelbase version of the VW ID. Buzz. We're having a look at the Buzz on screen right now for our YouTube viewers. Also, the Porsche Macan Electric, the Audi Q6 e-tron, the VW ID7, the Cupra Tavascan, and more as well. Well, Volkswagen says they remain committed to the electrification of mobility in this release today, though the pace of adoption will vary by region. That's the little caveat they've put in there, saying that some regions are going a little bit slower than they would like or had forecast and expected. Now, significant product launches in the software sector include the Porsche Macan Electric and the Audi Q6 e-tron. More on the Macan in just a moment, by the way. They gave some praise to their CARIAD software division today as well. And the battery business faced an operating loss of 0.4 billion euros over the year and a net cash outflow of 0.8 billion euros. That has been attributed to a higher investment than they planned and the costs of establishing these battery teams globally. But if you'd like to find out more, maybe you're interested in that side of EV world, the more corporate stuff, I'll pop a link in the show notes for you to read more. But I think the overall tone I got from that today was the business is in robust shape. They are heading into the electrification that they have kind of been plotting for a long time. No real change, of course, which is different to perhaps the US automakers, which have wavered a little bit, the Fords and GMs as well, for various different reasons. And we'll get into actually one of those in just a moment, the sort of political side. Shudder. But for the VW stuff, I'll pop a link in the show notes if you'd like to read more. Let's talk Hyundai IONIQ 5N, the priciest and most electrifying Hyundai yet. It is launching in the US at a price of $67,000, actually $67,475, model year 2025. IONIQ 5N, the very top of the tree in terms of their electric vehicle offerings, the high-performance N designation marking it and setting it aside as the most expensive but also most exciting offering from Hyundai. Now, this performance model demands around $24,000 more than the IONIQ 5 base model, $9,000 above the high-end limited variant with a 320-horsepower all-wheel drive setup, a substantial enhancement over anything else that you can get from Hyundai. And for those eager for the EV that has an exceptional track capability, Hyundai say this is it. And the the teaser videos, the YouTube stuff they've put out has all featured this car doing bonkers sideways things on track and on closed street circuits as well. You know, you will never drive your car like this unless you're an idiot, but or you're doing a track day. But it really taps into people who want to buy this vehicle for that sort of track-like experience, even though you're probably just going to get a pint of milk with it. It boasts a formidable setup, an EV motor capable of producing 641 horsepower when the overboost feature, which they've called, and I'm still not sure about the marketing terms, N-Grin Boost, the NGB modes. Anyway, activate N-Grin and you get some more power. Larger 84 kilowatt hour battery on this. Some Big Daddy Brembo brakes and some bigger Pirelli P0 tyres chosen for this vehicle and for high performance as well. It actually sits lower, almost an inch lower to the ground. It's 2 inches wider and 3.2 inches longer than the standard Arniq 5. So they haven't just done... A lot of people compare this to the Tesla Model Y performance, and I get that because it's sitting in a similar price range, a little bit more expensive actually, but this is anything but that. All, you know, Tesla are so good at having a standard vehicle, giving it, you know, another, you know, all-wheel drive or some more performance and what have you, but there's nothing different apart from, you know, a red underline on the badge at the back until you actually stomp on the loud pedal with a Tesla Model Y performance. Then it rips your face off. Otherwise, apart from maybe, the alloys and stuff can give me a bit of a giveaway, this thing is entirely different. It's physically different to the Arniq 5N, and it looks utterly bonkers. Has a drift mode for oversteer control, torque drift kick system, which mimics a clutch dump for dynamic kind of acceleration, e-shift technology that will simulate feedback of an 8-speed dual clutch transmission. I'm doubtful about some of these things that mimic combustion world, like the noises and the fake gearboxes, but I haven't tried it, so I'll keep my mouth shut until then. The noise stuff I will turn off every day. If I've got the option of turning off stuff, I don't want to hear fake noises. It's a kind of a gimmick for the first 5 minutes, but the other stuff, the sort of the mimicking the gearbox and going up through a rev range, I don't think I want it, but I'd love to give it a go, and you never know, it might add to the experience, the added performance as well. With it, they call it N Active Sound Plus, this artificial generator. But anyway, like I say, now in the US market, $67,475, the most expensive Hyundai they've ever sold. Not for the faint of heart, but boy, if you buy this, you've got something very, very special. Oh, should we talk about some politics? Politics, then. I even stumbled over that. I try not to on this podcast, but because, you know, politics is not black and white, and I live in a country, and, you know, a lot of the viewers and listeners of this podcast are in American, and we both live in democracies that are dominated really by two-party politics. Now, it's, you know, European countries have some of them have a very different style of politics where it relies on coalition and working together, but both here and in the US as well, it's very much either or. A little bit different here, but still, it's mostly first past the post two-party politics. And I hate that because life isn't black and white. I've said, long-time listeners of this podcast know I try not to do too much politics, but I have said many times over the years on this podcast, it's shades of grey. You know, financially, fiscally, I'm very conservative. I believe in small government, a big civil service to execute on that, but otherwise a very small government. So you think, oh, is he leaning to the right? Well, no, I love living in a country that means you can turn up to any hospital if you're on holiday, if you've just arrived, immigrants, if you've just arrived 5 minutes ago into this country, or whether you've lived here all your life and turn up and say, I'm sick, I need your help, and I believe in helping those people. And like, oh my goodness, he's leaning to the left, he likes EVs, he's a tree hugger. Well, it's like, politics isn't like that. It's just, I'm shades of grey. I believe in funding a health service. I like small government. I like lots of me. Sort of, I like the conservative values that if I was in the US, would I vote Republican or Democrat? I don't know. Well, I wouldn't vote for Donald Trump because, firstly, come on, US, you know, when America's great, it is the best of, you know, you are absolutely world leading. You can do better. You've got a bigger pool to choose from than Donald Trump, haven't you? So, you know, whatever your politics, come on, America, you can do better than this person. But he's been speaking about electric vehicles following a meeting with Elon Musk at Mar-a-Lago and voicing his strong opposition to the shift to electric vehicles, highlighting concerns about their readiness, their costs and production. He says, first of all, they don't go far, they cost too much, and they're all going to be made in China. Well, that's the point of the last 4 years of what the Biden administration has been doing, which is to say, let's have great EVs that do go far, that we do reduce the cost with the Inflation Reduction Act, and they're not made in China because they're all being made with incentivizing US unionized production. And oh yeah, sidebar, I quite like unions as well. Oh my goodness, I'm really hard to pigeonhole. Anyways, get back to the story. He labelled the push towards EVs as harmful to the US auto industry, suggesting it could lead to job losses. He termed electric vehicles a hoax. That was the quote. He emphasised the need for maintaining a mix of energy sources and burning coal and mining and stuff like that, and pointing out the risk of the EV adoption. The potential cuts to federal funding would leave the US auto industry in somewhat of a limbo if the Inflation Reduction Act, the bipartisan infrastructure law there, was all rolled back somehow if he was voted in November. Now, his statements suggest that a reversal of those policies could happen in some way, and would be an utter disaster. Not because of my politics, but because all car companies, you know, they're not working on it. They're not looking ahead at a year or two. They're looking ahead at 10 or 20 years. And this is the way car companies work. And they just want certainty. So whatever your politics, whatever their politics, they just want certainty. And so this uncertainty, I think, is one of the reasons why we've seen the US car makers, the likes of Ford and GM, hedge their bets a bit. You know, they're not stupid. They're trying to read the tea leaves, and this would change the playing field somewhat. I do think, personal opinion here, I do think it's interesting that at the minute the US is on a trajectory of making a lot of electric vehicles on home soil with, you know, homegrown jobs, despite this person saying they're all Chinese, which they're not. But if he were to roll back all of those incentives, all of those, you could call them protectionist things that have come over the last few years, what that would do would destroy the US domestic EV auto industry. I mean, it really would. And it would open the door to China. So actually, what he's saying, the opposite would happen. So, yeah, he's saying, if you get my drift, so it would be a disaster. And, well, you know, watch this space. Who knows what will happen? Everyone will be fine at the end of the day. And it would really slow down the US move. Now, Europe is barreling headlong into EVs. China is barreling headlong into EVs. And it would make US an outlier on the global stage. And that's fine, because the US will do what the US does. But I think it would be a real shame, not only for the environment and clean air policies as well, but just the excitement of moving to EV. But hey, we'll watch this one. We'll try not to come back to politics too much over the next few months before the election. Now let's talk about Tesla in Germany, and their Grünheide plant is resuming production faster than expected, within less than a day following the temporary halt because of the eco-terrorist attack on the high-voltage lines that crisscross the country in Germany. The disruption was projected to last until the end of this week, caused by the arson attack. Power restoration occurred 2 days ago, on Monday night, thanks to round-the-clock efforts from the energy supplier, part of E.ON. Initially feared financial losses because of the outage could have been up to, hundreds of millions of euros, perhaps almost a billion. It's still going to be enormously costly for Tesla. I'm not trying to pretend it won't be. And reports coming out this morning on social media, I must admit, point the people that track Elon Musk's jet and movements and things like that suggest he is heading to Europe right now to see for himself and talk to the senior management team there at the Berlin facility about the resumption. But that looks like that happened. Power restored on Monday and the factory back, you know, it's not the work of a moment to start a factory, back in production as of this morning as well, where they make the Model Y, and maybe weekly production of 6,000 cars being affected there. The Model Y starting at €45,000, very popular vehicle, of course, and local production very important to Europe, but a lot less of a disruption than they thought it was going to be. Link in the show notes if you'd like to find out more. Next, let's talk Xiaomi, and they're entering the Chinese market with their SUV, the SU7. Xiaomi, renowned for their smartphones, starting deliveries of their first EV March 28th. Big news today. They gave it a date, sent the share price up about 10%, by the way. So investors liking that. March 28th to enter the market, dominated in China by the likes of BYD. Tesla, a big player as well. Company announcing customers will start placing orders now for the SU7, but they're holding back on final exact pricing. The SU7 has loads of autonomous driving capabilities, a digital cockpit. It's going to be in 59 showrooms across China. It features their Hyper Engine. That's just their version of the electric motor. The batteries themselves come from CATL, fellow Chinese company, and they're aiming for a top range, CLTC, of course, 800 kilometers on their top version of that. Now, the pricing is anticipated to start at $35,000 equivalent, 25,000 yuan. The SU7 going right up against the Model 3 at that price point. That is about where the Model 3 is sold in China, but also the Zeekr 001, BYD Seal, XPeng P7, and more as well. Big news today, and we'll pop a link in the show notes to find out more. Now let's get into the Dacia news that I told you about earlier. The Dacia Spring will be the most affordable EV here in the UK because pricing came out this morning. Dacia announcing the Spring EVs. UK pricing starts at, I'll hold myself up for this one, $14,995 for a brand new EV. It's the country's most cost-effective electric vehicle, easily, by a long way, actually. And the pricing positions the Spring beneath many combustion cars of a similar type. The petrol-driven Renault Clio, for instance, is just one of them. Well, the Dacia Spring is set to debut in the UK after a big update, a visual update. It looks pretty cool. And a technical refresh as well, aiming to maintain its strong performance in the European market. We never had this vehicle here, though, in right-hand drive. They never sold the original one to UK buyers. And their first entry with the Dacia Spring, $14,995, is a ridiculously low price for a brand new car. Official pricing disclosed as pre-orders opened, and initial deliveries will be October later this year. The next possible EV that I can think of is the Vauxhall Corsa Electric, and that's something like £12,000 more expensive. You could almost buy two Dacia Springs for the next expensive one. Now, the entry-level expression is what we're talking about. 44 horsepower motor. And yeah, you know, you're not going to win any races with that because the 0 to 62 mile an hour dash, that's 0 to 100 kph, takes place in 19 seconds. It's not quick, I'll give you that. But it comes with a 7-inch touchscreen, USB ports to plug your phones in, cruise control, electric windows, rear parking sensors, a 27 kilowatt hour battery, 137 miles of range, and 30 kilowatt charging on the slightly increased spec versions. You can add, you know, about £1,000 or so every time you go up the step ladder to add some more toys and to add some nice things around you. But for first-time drivers, for, you know, driving schools, for anyone that wants just to have a new car on their driveway, to start at $14,995 is ridiculous. It blows the EV market wide open here. It's a £99 deposit, and this car, they say it's a perfect city car. It's just a perfect car. It's a brand new car for 15 grand. And it's an electric car with almost a 30 kilowatt hour battery. My first Renault Zoe had a 22 kilowatt hour battery. And that was absolutely fine. Now, obviously, you get a lot less when it's cold and it's not particularly sophisticated. And the Zoe didn't AC charge either, but DC fast charge either. But all those things can be put aside when the price point is this low. And actually, you know what? I think it looks pretty good as well. They've really upped the styling of this, and there's some visually really interesting bits about this vehicle. So if you want to be first in line, get those pre-orders in. I might do it myself just because we always need two cars on the driveway. At the minute, we've got the Polestar and the MG. Must sell the MG. And I've been saying that for about a year. I would like the ZS. But you know what? With the Polestar being a bigger car, that would be a perfect two-car driveway for us. The Polestar 2, Dacia Spring, a new car for 15 grand. It's an EV. All right, link in the show notes. Okay, let's go to China next, and we'll talk about some news. And, you know, long-term listeners have heard me say that the Japanese car makers, very, very good at producing cars as they are, they've wavered you know, the Toyotas of the world have wavered on EVs. Will they go bust? No, I think they'll be okay long term. They've got the engineering and management talent to do whatever they want, but they're going to miss out on some key markets if they slow walk into EVs. And I've been criticised for having that opinion. It's okay, we don't have different opinions and still friends. Take some news today from China. Nissan and Honda are scaling down their China production amidst EV competition, decreasing their car production capabilities in China, adjusting them in response to the intensifying competition in the electric vehicle sector in the Chinese market. Another problem is they've got no EVs to sell. And what do the Chinese want to buy? They want to buy electric vehicles. So just another little indicator that if you slow walk your way into EVs, saying, oh, we'll let the customers decide, they still want to buy combustion stuff, that's okay. And that's fine, you'll make money now. Have a think about those future markets in the big Chinese market, and that is not great news today. Let's talk solar charging now of EVs and Beam Global. They're the company that make those transportable solar chargers for EVs. They just secured a $1 million deal with the UK's Ministry of Defence for the supply of 10 of their ARC solar-powered EV charging systems and the ARC mobility trailer as well. It'll be designed for off-grid operation, no construction or electrical works needed, or utility connections, by the way, for the installation either. The Ministry of Defence will use these in various countries where they are in, if not in theatre, at least where the MOD have some sort of military ongoing efforts. Maybe that could be in Cyprus, for instance, where we have a big military base that's been mentioned in this article, where these could be capable of generating their own clean electricity. Somewhere like Cyprus would be, you know, it's almost the Middle East, a very hot country, lots of sunshine as well, powering up to 6 level 2 EV chargers, and perfect for military gear, military personnel as well. These are already rolled out in the US. US Army, Marine Corps have these. Department of Homeland Security have some of these as well, and other federal entities. Link to that press release in the show notes. All right, four more stories on today's podcast. We'll go to Volvo next, and they're collaborating with a British startup called Breathe Battery Technologies to enhance their EV battery management systems, promising faster charging. Now, Breathe comes out of Imperial College London, and they want to revolutionise battery charging with their management systems. Their dynamic system adapts over time, offering, they say, more precise control and potentially reducing charge times by 15 to 30%, involving sophisticated electrochemistry models and working in real time with the battery management system to have a greater understanding of the state of charge and the condition of the battery and the hardware and the cell chemistry as well. Designed to operate on low power embedded processors, suggesting some future applications beyond automotive as well. Volvo, the first automaker to implement this kind of technology in their EVs. It's not an exclusivity deal, but Volvo say anything that means that we can get a better performance out of our batteries, we're happy to take an investment in this and lead the way. Staying with batteries and a bit of news from a couple of days ago, StoreDot and Eve Energy are joining forces for fast charging EV battery production. The Israeli company StoreDot collaborating with China's Eve Energy to commercially produce their XFC cells, extreme fast charging cells. Through the partnership, StoreDot will gain access to Eve's manufacturing capabilities, and StoreDot will license its technology to Eve, expanding their reach through further licensing deals. They say the collaboration ensuring that StoreDot's fast charging cells will be manufactured on Eve's advanced production lines. They say that guarantees high quality delivery to their global clientele. Link in the show notes. Couple more stories, and I mentioned at the beginning Mercedes-Benz CEO Ole Klenius suggesting that the European Union should reduce tariffs on Chinese EV vehicles to enhance competition and improve European car quality. Now, he said that he opposes protectionist policies, arguing for decreased tariffs on Chinese EV manufacturers, the likes of BYD. Currently, Chinese cars face a 10% tariff in Europe compared to a 15% tariff on European cars sold in China. Now, Klenius believes that reducing tariffs allows fair competition and encourages automakers in Europe to innovate and produce superior vehicles. And while some European manufacturers have expressed concerns over competition from Chinese EVs, Mercedes-Benz say that with significant sales in China, they've got a big business there, and they collaborate with the likes of BYD for battery technology, that they would oppose any protective measures. And finally, a gaze into the future at Airbus and eVTOL transport, that is electric vertical takeoff and landing. Airbus has officially revealed the City Airbus Next Gen, a fully electric vertical takeoff and landing vehicle set for its first flights later this year. Designed for urban operations, the City Airbus Next Gen is a 2-ton vehicle with a wingspan of 12 metres, boasting a range of 80 kilometres and 120 kilometres an hour cruise speed. The unveiling timed for the opening of the new City Airbus Test Centre, focusing on testing electric VTOL systems. Now, I know this, we talk a lot about cars and battery technology and a little bit of eVTOL stuff as and when, maybe once a month when something tickles my fancy, but fascinating to see Airbus getting into this. One of many companies, actually, and I've spoken about this in the past, we don't do a lot of this kind of, you know, a lot of electric boating stuff and aircraft stuff, but as and when, I think it's interesting to take a look at how all forms of transport will be electrified. Well, thanks so much for watching the podcast today and listening. If you are not, if you're watching the YouTube version and you're not yet subscribed to the audio version, well, why don't you? What's stopping you? Opening up your podcast app and searching EV News Daily. If you're a long-term listener of the audio version, we put this back on YouTube. And after lots of people saying, just turn the camera on and record what you're doing. Okay, I'll get back on YouTube. So thank you very much to everyone who said some lovely things over the last couple of days. As we work our way towards 10,000 subscribers, if you're not subscribed yet, then please do on YouTube. Because, hey, it's free and it helps us build the podcast and spread the word about electric vehicles. And you can support the show on Patreon and a daily mention for our premium partners, as always, our biggest supporters, Porsche of the Village of Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from Nevo.ie and the Nevo EV Review Island YouTube channel, Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map, and Lease Plan Electric Moments, all the tools and guidance EV drivers need. Have a good one, see you tomorrow, and remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.